simply worshipful without entertainment. Really good opportunity to concentrate on the Lord and get right with Him, prepare our hearts. Chapter 15, Paul continues really with much of the same that, you know, the last chapter was about. And, let's pray. Let's continue to worship Him and praise Him in prayer. Lord, we do thank You, and we are grateful, Lord, for all that You've done. Lord, we praise You and thank You for Your provision. We thank You, Lord, that You're here and that You speak and that You're alive and that You're concerned and You care. We do turn to You, Lord. We ask that You would minister through Your word, Lord, that You would give us all Your portion, that You would bless and strengthen and feed and nurture, keep for You, the shepherd and overseer of our souls, Lord, and we turn to You. We ask that You have Your way here according to Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans 15, verse 1, Paul begins with, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." If you go back to 14:1, it says much the same. "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." Paul's encouraging, you know, the spiritual lot, those that are more mature in Christ, to really, you know, be more mature and to be strong and to be more like Christ. And in this verse, bear up with the scruples of the weak, weaknesses of others in dealing with the weaker brothers and the weaker sisters. I remember, you know, going through this the last time and times before in scriptures like this. You know, those who are strong, and, you know, I would like teach it as if, you know, I was one who was one of those who were strong. And, you know, you're like Paul and I think, you know, like the one guy on Mary Tyler Moore. Remember that one guy, Ted, I think his name was? I really had that kind of attitude. And, you know, the truth is, you know, if you think you're strong, or if you think you're spiritual, or you think you're walking with Christ and you're, you know, super saint, Paul's going to challenge us, you, me, to prove it. You know, live like it. Really, he cuts to the chase, you know, dealing with weaker brothers and sisters. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." You know, you who are spiritual, you know, prove it with your spirit of gentleness, restoring ones that are fallen around us in sin. You know, acting like Christ, living like Christ. It's Paul's instruction. You know, we then who are strong to bear up. Now, bear up doesn't just mean cope. I remember going to a defensive driving school because I was trying to get rid of my points, getting a ticket. And their big message was cope, got to learn to cope with other drivers. Got to kind of like go along with the flow and cope and don't, you know, cause any waves. But that's not what he's talking about. It's more than coping with the weaknesses or the scruples, which means weaknesses, of other Christians or others that are, don't think like us or different than us. It's more, bearing their burdens, their doubts, their fears. It's kind of like being in a traffic jam, you know. It's not just coping with the traffic jam, but it's kind of getting out and, helping push the car that caused it. To be involved is what Paul's saying. You know, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Bearing their burdens. The involvement of getting involved with those that are weak. Not just to please ourselves, Paul says. You know, to bear. I don't know what that means in the stock market. You know, you're either bear or bullish or something. You know, what does it mean to be bear? Does that mean to invest or to pull your investments? Pull. Okay, and then bullish is to invest. Well, here it's kind of like, bear up with the scruples. Don't be bullish. I like to look at it, like bull. You know, don't be selfish. Bear up with those who are weak. Not just live to please yourself. That's what he's saying. To be involved, not just please yourself, living for our own pleasure, but living with others in mind, involvement in others' lives, bearing up the scruples of those that are weak. He goes on, verse 2, let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. The involvement. Again, that's opposite of my nature. You know, wanting to get involved with my neighbor's problems. I don't want to get involved with my neighbor's problems. But Paul says, hey, if you who think you're spiritual, you who are strong, already are involved in your neighbor's problems. And it's an exhortation, to grow. I need to grow and to be spiritual and to be strong, be involved, be strengthened as a Christian. And really, he goes on to kind of give some steps how we can grow as a Christian. In verse 3, he said, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Quoting from Psalm 69, a psalm about the Messiah Jesus, that when people made reproaches against God, he took them personally. He said even Jesus, didn't live for himself. When someone said something against God, Jesus felt it. And how, Paul gives Jesus as an example to be modeled after, you who are spiritual. You who need to grow, me, I need to grow, and learn from examining and Jesus' example. In 1 John, using Jesus as an example, walk in the light, even as he walked, John says. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. You say, yeah, I'm in fellowship with him. I'm a Christian. I'm walking with him. I'm close to him. Well, then we're to walk even as he walked. And every man who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure, John says. He goes on to say, he that does righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. Even as he is. Using Jesus as an example. The next encouragement to help us grow is the scripture, the word. In verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scripture might have hope. The things that were written before were written. The purpose of the writing of the scripture were written for our example, for our admonition, that we might learn. We can grow. We can learn. There's an easy way to learn, spiritual lessons and learn how to grow. It's to learn by example. We can actually see what God's trying to say and write and, you know, picture, illustrate to our soul for our learning. The easy way to learn is that we see and we grow and we are admonished by the Scripture. You know, the things that Joseph went through, the things that, you know, Moses went through. We can learn, we can grow. The easy way, the flexible way, is that we can learn by example. There's a word in the dictionary, in our vocabulary, inculcate. To implant by repeated statement or admonition. You know, we go through the Scripture, and we can actually receive the instruction from the Scripture. God wrote the Scripture that we would learn. And we can learn by going through the Scripture. We can learn by Christ's example, learning to follow His example. We can learn by the things that were written beforehand in the Bible. He says, patience. Written for our learning that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. That word patience means to bear up under load. It's more than coping. You know, I think sometimes, you know, about patience, the patience of Job. You know, you think about patience, that's just like kind of having, you know, the ability to just wait. But it's more. It's bearing up under load. I couldn't believe my eyes, you know, on Sunday, after the outreach, you know, we were up on the gazebo. I was talking to Cynthia Thomas, and we were looking down at the soccer game. And there was these two soccer moms that were, like, ready to go at it. You know, the one lady, I mean, they're in each other's face, and it was so comical. It was, like, surreal. I'm looking at Cynthia. I said, are you seeing this, too? It's like, you know, you want a piece of me? They're like 50, 60-year-old ladies ready to fight, fist fight. And the coach was involved in it, and these two ladies are in each other's face. Yeah, you better not stand up from your lawn chair. But we're to cope under pressure, bearing up under load, under stress. Learn an example. Be admonished from the Scripture. From the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we can have hope for the future. Eternal hope. The only hope that's true hope is the hope of glory. Hope of eternal life. Our everlasting bodies. A life in existence without sickness. Without pain. Everlasting life. The Scripture gives us hope for the future. We can learn to grow through Christ's example, through the examples in Scripture. And then in verse 5, I like this one. It's, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. I see a spiritual grant here. Paul prayed, may He grant you. You know, we can receive from God simply by praying and asking, and He can bestow upon us a grant. His grace, that's what the book of Romans is all about, getting what we don't deserve. Asking for things. You know, Lord, give me the mind of Christ. You know, you who are strong, you who need to grow, you who think you're spiritual, you know, that you might be like-minded to grow based upon the example of Christ, the examples in Scripture, and this spiritual grant, gift of being like-minded like Christ, really the gift of His Spirit, receiving His Spirit, having His heart, His mind, the saturation of His Spirit. Mind of Christ, a spiritual grant. That you can be like-minded toward one another. There's another spiritual grant down in verse 13. Look, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That's a prayer for a grant, to be granted by grace, a gift of God. Come before God and ask Him, fill me, Lord, with Your Spirit. Fill me, Lord, with Your peace. Fill me, Lord, with Your joy. Give me Your mind, Lord. And a spiritual grant, a scriptural truth, to be asking for things God would give, not because we deserve them. Ways to grow, to be spiritual, to be like-minded. He speaks of unity. You know, you who are strong, bearing up with the scruples of the weak, be like-minded toward one another at the end of verse 5 there. In verse 6, he goes on to talk about that unity, that you with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unity, like-mindedness. Like-mindedness comes from like being like-minded according to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Having his mind, the enabling to be like-minded. But notice in verse 6, glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unity among the brethren. Unity, like-mindedness, the mind of Christ, brings glory to God. I think it was Augustine says that the chief end of man is to glorify God. To bring glory to God is why we're here. And what glorifies God is unity, like-mindedness, bearing up the scruples of the weak, taking and being involved in others, not living for yourself. Unity, being unified. In verse 7, Paul goes on, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Therefore, having Christ as an example and the scriptures we can learn from, spiritual grants that we can ask for, receive one another, just like Christ received us to the glory of God. To glorify God. Putting the things in practice and growing up as a Christian. Lord, help us. You know, I used to think I was like, you know, Ted, is it Baxter? I think maybe his name was or something. But now sometimes I feel like George Costanza in the spirit. And I need to grow. And I need his spirit. I need his mind. I need his heart. Ways to grow in Christ. In verse 8, he looks back at Jesus. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Jesus became a servant. You know, it's astounding that God would become man and then live like he did. You know, he came and he served man. I have a couple of scriptures here. Look in Luke 22. Turn back to Luke 22. In the context of the disciples arguing who would be the greatest, you know, Jesus gives this example. In Luke 22, verse 27. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I among you, I am among you as the one who serves. But are those who continue with me in my trust? He, you know, speaking about the greatest among you is the servant of all. And him, the servant, Paul references here. Jesus, has become a servant to the circumcision. To the Jew first, the Bible tells us. And Jesus, when he sent out the two, remember he said, don't go into the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus, when he came, you know, even to the Syrophoenician woman, says, hey, I've come to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm here because of the Jews for the Jews. And to the Jew first, to the circumcision, he became a servant. The Bible tells us and teaches us and unfolds us. This used to trouble me because it was so clear. Jesus said, I have come only for the lost sheep of Israel. The purpose of his coming for those in Israel to reach out. But it was to the Jew first, the Bible tells us. It didn't disclude us, but we weren't included at the first. And that's what Paul's talking about right here. It's first to the Jew, but then to the Gentiles. In verse 8, Jesus came to serve the circumcision to the Jew first, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Jesus came and fulfilled the prophecies as a confirmation to the promises given to the Father. Over 300 prophecies Jesus fulfilled. Jesus came, born of a virgin. Many prophecies, fulfilling them. In Daniel, the Bible tells us that, speaking of the Messiah, after 69 sevens or 69 week period, he shall be cut off. There's a remaining 7-year period when he'll be cut off from the land of the living. He shall be cut off temporarily, then he'll come back. Following the 7-year great tribulation period, Daniel spoke about in the prophecy of his return. He confirmed the promises given to the Father. Why he came as a servant to the Jew first to confirm the promises. In verse 9, it goes on, and that the Gentiles, the extension, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. He quotes four scriptures here or so, and speaking about the Gentiles. And it was always God's plan to reach out to the Gentiles. He wanted to use Israel to reach out. He wanted to use Israel as a nation on the earth, as a light to reach all other nations. They failed in God's plan for them, rejecting their Messiah. But it's always been his plan to reach all man, all of us, non-Jews, Gentiles. But here, he came that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Then he quotes, for this reason, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope, and we do hope in him. But notice, interesting, there's a progression. First of all, he quotes, if you figure out all these scriptures, he quotes from the law, the historical, the poetry, and the prophets. He quotes from every section in the Old Testament of the Bible. And he uses the scriptures to point that God will reach out to the Gentiles. Then he uses them, and there's a progression here. If you look at it, first, the Gentiles will confess. First he will be confessed among the Gentiles. And then the Gentiles will praise him among his people, among the Jews. Then there's a direct praise. They will praise the Lord directly, the Gentiles. Then the Bible says in the last quote, that he will come. There's a root from, the prophecy fulfilling the one from the son of Jesse, David's line, to reign over the Gentiles. There's a progression. First we'll praise him with the, he'll be confessed among us, then he'll praise among the Jews, then we'll praise directly, and then be ruled over and reigned over by him directly. Then in verse 13, he prays, oh, that the Lord, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of hope fill you. May he fill us with joy and peace. This is a request, a prayer by Paul. And, it's interesting because, I often want peace. I often don't have peace. And I often turn to him and ask for peace. I don't know if I say fill me with peace. If I'm filled with peace, that doesn't leave any room for strife. I ask for peace often, but Lord, give me. Fill me with peace. Fill me with joy. If I'm filled with peace and with joy, that doesn't leave any room for depression or negative thoughts or strife or contention or disagreement among the brethren or disunity. He says, you know, now may the Lord fill you with joy and peace. Notice the process in believing, he says in 13. You know, can this simply be true by believing? That's what the Bible tells us. In truth, we can come before him and receive a spiritual grant. We were talking the other day, Roseanne and I, about, you know, man, so somebody in the church here just got a grant to go to school. Man, she did it just in time, Roseanne was saying, because they're going to start cutting them grants off because of the way the economy is. But the truth is, we can come before God simply in believing. That's what the Bible says. And ask to be filled with his Spirit, his joy, peace, what we need. He's the becoming one. He's our God. So, in this passage, we see we're to bear up, not be selfish, but to be involved with one another, that we might grow. Jesus himself being our example, the scriptures admonishing us, to inculcate, filling us. And then the spiritual grant, it's a gift of grace to grow up. You know, when I grow up, I want to be like Jesus. Let's stand. Let's ask the Lord to fill us. Simply in believing in truth. According to his Spirit, according to his promise. And you know, his design for us is that we would glorify him. And this brings glory to him. The Bible tells us, Lord, we do. We look to you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the promises in your word. We thank you that you've reached out to the Gentiles. And Lord, that the Gentiles may glorify God, that we might bring glory to you. Lord, that we be like-minded toward one another, having the mind of Christ. Lord, that be recognize the truth of who we are. We think we're so spiritual, we think we're so strong in truth, Lord, who we are in the light of you and how short we fall. Help us, Lord. Help us all grow up. We ask that you fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with joy, peace, and believing. Lord, we look to you. We ask, Lord, that we be ones that would learn our lessons in life easily, flexibly, by example of another. Lord, we look to you. We ask that you lay your hand upon us, that you fill us with your Spirit. Give us your eyes and your heart and your mind. And do help us, Lord, follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.